You remember 2 weeks ago, we talked about, are we smarter than a donkey? And last week, we talked about, are we smarter than a grasshopper? And this week, we're going to talk about, are we smarter than an ant? An ant. So look at Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 6 and read down through verse 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Now, you don't need to turn to it, but let me read a couple verses that we read last week. There be four things, and this is from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 and 25. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Now, just notice that that word exceeding. They're not just wise, but they're exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. We've been in the book of Proverbs before. I've told you that in the Hebrew, the word proverb means rule book. It was written by Solomon, who asked for wisdom from God and was granted that wisdom. One of the wisest men that ever walked the face of the earth. I believe Jesus was wiser than Solomon, but Solomon was probably the second wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth. And so he wrote this book to share his wisdom, to give us rules to live our life by. And in the book of Proverbs, there are various animals mentioned. And I read it a Monday night, and I just wrote down all the animals that I ran across. And I'm not telling you that we're going to have a lesson on all these, so don't worry about it. But I just want you to see that there's lots of animals mentioned in the book of Proverbs. There's snakes, there's bears, birds, dogs, eagles, goats, deer, horses, lambs, lions, locusts, oxen, ravens, roes or gazelles, spiders, swine, and ants. Now, every time one of those animals is mentioned, they're not just mentioned. There's other places in the Bible where animals are just mentioned. Like, there's a passage of Scripture in the early part of 2 Kings about two she-bears. Some kids were making fun of Elijah's bald head, and these two she-bears came out and ate up the 42 kids. They were just mentioned. There's no lesson there that we learn from the animals. There's a lesson, you better not kid the preacher about his bald head, but there's no lesson to learn from the animals. Now, it's different in the book of Proverbs because every time an animal is mentioned, there's a lesson associated with that animal. There's some wisdom that Solomon shares with us about that animal, things that we need to learn, lessons that we need to learn that will help us live our lives. And the same thing is true of the ants. Now, I'm not talking about tonight uncles and aunts, that kind of ants. I'm talking about ants, the little creepy, crawly things, those little creatures that we sometimes find in our kitchens and in our bathrooms and other parts of the house where when we find them, we take immediate action. I mean, I'm sure, like me, you have taken your thumb when you saw a little ant walking across the kitchen counter and you have squished it. And if there was a bunch of them, you went out and bought ant traps, poison to kill those little creatures. And I think by the time I get done tonight, you may be like me and you'll feel sorry for all those times you've squashed an ant or put out an ant trap, because they really are some amazing creatures that teach us some things. Ants are all over the place. In fact, ants outnumber any other insect on the earth. There's more ants worldwide than there is any other insect. And there are more species of ants than there is any other species. They have identified over 15,000 different types of ants. I mean, there's that many different species. They live in nests or colonies. Most of the time, those nests are in the ground. They dig a hole. They make an ant hill. I was cutting the grass last week, and there's an ant hill that has developed right in my yard. And so I just take my power mower, and I just set it there and let the things go around and around and blow the sand. And I feel sorry for doing that. I mean, just terrible after I've studied about these ants. But most of them live in the ground. Now, some of them live in wood and trees, and some of them live in structures and buildings, foundations, things like that. But most of them live in the ground, in the dirt. And these nests, they can hold anywhere from as few as 10 to 12 ants. Most of them hold hundreds of ants. As I was reading, they found a place down in Texas where a whole acre of ground was an ant colony. And they thought there was tens of thousands of ants that lived in that colony. And ants are highly organized. In every colony or in every nest, you'll find three different types of ants. And you say, Brother Darrell, where's the lesson? Well, just hang on. I got to tell you about the ants, and then I'm going to get to the lessons. But in every colony, you'll find a queen ant who is the mother of the colony. There may be more than one. There probably was in that place in Texas where they had the whole acre. But in most cases, it's just one queen or mother ant. She's usually the biggest. When she's young, starting out her colony, she has wings. So she flies out and mates with a male. Males also have wings. And they mate. Then she goes and she digs the first part of the colony. She digs that first hole, that first chamber, those first tunnels, whatever you want to call it. And then she lays her eggs. And then she chews off her wings. She literally chews off her wings because she'll never need them again. You see, once she mates with the male, she'll lay eggs the rest of her life. All right, so she don't need her wings anymore. She's going to stay in that colony, in that hole she digs for the rest of her life. And most queens live 10 or 15 years. And she'll lay eggs the rest of her life and stay in that colony. Now, when the first batch of kids, well, I don't know if they call them broods or what, she takes care of. She is the nurse to those children. But then the succeeding generations from that first group, they develop into different jobs, into different responsibilities that I'm going to talk about in a moment. And the queen's prime or only responsibility going forward is to lay eggs, to repopulate the ant colony. So there's the queen ant. Then there are worker ants. They live about 5 to 6 years. They vary in size. They have different responsibilities and different jobs. There, for example, are nurse ants. And as the name implies, the nurse ants care for the little babies. They care for the young. They care for the queen. That's their prime responsibility. That's all they do. They spend their life taking care of the little ones. And then there's the gatherers. Those are the ants we see most of the time. Those are ones that are going places to get food and then bringing that food back to the colony. They go out and they look for something and something to eat, and then they bring it back, not just for them, but for the babies and for the queen and for all the other ants that are in the colony. They're worker ants. Then there are soldier ants. Again, all the same species, all in the same colony. Again, the queen's probably the biggest, and the nurse ants are probably the smallest, and then the gatherers are a little bit bigger, and then the one of the bigger, besides the queen ants, is the soldier ants, and as the name implies, they protect the nest from enemies. If somebody comes in, tries to attack the ants, the soldier ants come out, they have strong jaws, and they protect the nest. Then there are builders. They do the digging. They do the expansion of the colony. So when they need more room because they have more babies, or like we're doing in the nursery, we're expanding the nursery. We're making my office into a baby nursery because we got to separate the little toddlers from the nursery so that we have room for everybody. Well, that's what these builder ants do. They'll dig new chambers, new tunnels to make more room for the colony. And then there's the cleaners. Again, it's all these little worker ants, they just clean up after everybody else. They clean the tunnels, clean the chambers, clean up after themselves, all the crumbs that's dropped, and that's what they spend their life. Now, there's an amazing thing. All the worker ants are female. Are female. In the ant society, males do not work. Just before you say that, Berlinda, wait till you hear the rest of the story. All right, wait till you hear the rest of the story before you say amen. But they don't work. Now, let's move to the third type. In every colony, there's a queen, there's a worker ants, then there's a males. Males only have one function. They mate with the queen. And after they mate with the queen, they die within weeks. Within weeks. They say, take back that amen. Un-amen. that's their only function. They mate with the queen, and then in a couple weeks, they die. Now, here's an amazing thing. We read from Proverbs chapter 6, where it says, go to the ant, consider her ways. Doesn't say consider their ways. It doesn't say consider his ways. Solomon says, go to the ant, consider her ways. Now, I know Solomon was a wise man. I don't know how much time he spent studying ants. I don't know if he, back in his day, had a microscope where he could, you know, get all these ants and put them under the microscope and determine if they were male or female. I don't know that. It's an amazing thing to me that 3,000 and some years ago, when this book was written, that Solomon wrote, not consider their ways or consider his ways, but he wrote, consider her ways. Just another indication to me that God is the author of this book, and what man does not know, God knows. And when he told men to write this book, he told them word for word what to write, because God knows and knew you couldn't learn anything from the male ants, but you can learn a lot from the female ants. And that's why he said, go to the ant, consider her ways. And so tonight, I've told you just about everything I know about ants. And I'll be honest with you, I only learned it in the past few days. All right? But now I want to mention six things from those things that I've described for you. Six bits of wisdom that we can apply in our life to make us wiser and to make us more fit as a servant of Jesus Christ. So here we go. Number one. Eliminate things that might cause you to leave the will of God. In your life, if there are things in your life that might cause you to stumble or tempt you to leave the will of God for your life, just eliminate them. Now, I take that from the fact that the queen ant chews off her wings after she has mated and come into the nest. She'll never need those wings again, because she'll never need to mate again. God's will for that queen ant is to stay in that colony, to stay in that nest, and to lay eggs. She doesn't need to go out anymore. And if she had her wings, she might be tempted to leave the nest to go back out. But the fact that she, after she mates and goes back and digs the first hole, and she chews off her wings, so that she's not tempted to leave the will of God. Now, all of us have things in our life that might distract us from the will of God for our life, or might tempt us to leave the will of God for our life. And if we're as smart as an ant, we'll do our best to eliminate those things from our life so that we won't be tempted, we won't be distracted. The elimination of those things might not be pleasant. In fact, it may be very unpleasant for us to do that. I'm sure there is considerable pain to the queen ant when she chews off her wings. I read a story not too long ago about a guy that was hunting out in Montana, and he was by himself, and something happened where he got his arm stuck in a crevice or in a tree or something, and there was no way he could get it out, and if he knew that if he didn't do something, he would die. So he takes out his army knife and cuts his arm off so that he could live. Now, it's the same thing. I mean, I'm sure there was considerable pain for him to do that, but he knew that was the only way that he was going to live. And the queen ant knows that the only way she's going to do what God had designed her to do is to just cut off her wings so that she can't go out anymore, so that she does stay in the nest and never tempt it. So what is there in our life? Now, I'm going to give you some examples, but what is it in our life that may distract us from the will of God, that may tempt us to leave the will of God? Maybe it's a possession. Maybe it's something that you own. I talk to my Aubrey, my boss, all the time because he's distracted by TV and DVDs. I can always tell when he spends more time watching movies than when he's in the Word of God. I mean, I can tell when he comes to work what he's done that morning, whether he's been in the Bible or doing something else. The other thing he fights with is exercise and weights. And I tell him, I said, I don't talk to him about the weights so much, but I talk to him about the movies. I said, Aubrey, you know, because I always try to encourage him to read through the Bible. I said, you can make it through the Bible a lot quicker if you didn't spend so much time watching movies. And he gets so mad at me because I know you're right. I just don't want to give him up. But there may be possessions. You know, for some people, it may be a boat. They got a boat, so they think they got to go every weekend to spend time on the boat. They don't never come to church. Or maybe it's a cabin somewhere. And you can just, you know, go on from those examples. There may be something in our life that's a possession that's distracting us or keeping us from the will of God. Maybe it's a person. Maybe a certain friend that we might have or an acquaintance that whenever we get around them, they just tear us down. They get us discouraged. They distract us from the will of God. It might even be a relative. Now, if you're thinking tonight, well, it's my husband. We need to talk after the service because your preacher is not telling you to eliminate him. All right, so we'll take some time after the service. But Linda. but there may be people in our life that we have to be careful about how much time we spend with them because they drive us away from God. Maybe it's a habit. I mean, maybe it's a habit that we have that we don't want to give up. We know it's wrong. God's convicted us about it. And every time we do it, we know we're disobeying God. And so it distracts us from what he wants us to do. It tempts us to leave as well. And I've told you before, if you're trying to break a habit, don't make it easy for you to participate in that habit. If you're going to try to quit smoking, for example, don't keep cigarettes in the nightstand. Throw them all out. And when you get that urge to smoke, you got to get up, put your pants on over your pajamas and go down to the store and buy a bunch of cigarettes. And, you know, by the time you get that started, it ain't worth it. Make it hard. Make it hard. So if there's things, and same logic applies to this. If there's things, possessions, people, habits in your life, let's be as smart as an ant. And let's, as much as we can, let's try to eliminate them. Let's just try to get rid of them so that we can stay focused on what God wants us to do. Okay, so that's the first thing. Are we as smart as an ant? Well, we would be if we got rid of the things in the life in our life that take us away from God. Number two, work. 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 Every single of those workers, every one of those worker ants have jobs. They are devoted to their jobs. They do not whine. They do not wish to do something different. The little nursery ants don't come up to the queen and say, I'm tired of being a nursery ant. I want to be a gatherer. The queen would have to say, I'm sorry, you don't have the body to be a gatherer. You have a body to be a nursery ant. The gatherers don't come up to the queen after they've been gatherers for a while and say, I've served my time as a gatherer. I want to be a soldier ant. The queen would have to say, sorry, you don't have the jaws to be a soldier ant. You got the jaws to be a gatherer. They don't whine. They don't complain. They don't try to do something different. They do what God has designed them to do. And so they work. I thought about that verse in Ecclesiastes. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And these little ants, they don't work half-heartedly. They just don't go through the motions. They do their best. They do their best. And the same is true in God's work. We ought to do our best. We got a job. If God's given us something to do, we ought to do our best. Do it with our whole might, our whole heart. Not half-heartedly, not just go through the motions. We ought to give it our best. But by the way, and you've heard me say this before, I think the same thing is true in our secular work. You see, I disagree with these people that try to separate the spiritual from the secular. I think God is just as concerned about how we live our secular life as he is about how we live our spiritual life. And I think he wants us, even in the secular world, whatsoever our hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We ought to give it our best. If you're going to do something, give it your best. Don't do it half-heartedly. Don't do it just going through the motions. Give it your best, whatever it is, whatever your hand hath found to do. And we can be as smart as an ant if we do that. You see, and so Terry, this is what I promised you before. Here's what the world says. This is what the world teaches us. Be careful. You can be overworked. Be careful. If you're not careful, you will be overworked. I'll be honest with you. I don't know many people that suffer from being overworked. I know a ton of people that try to get out of every bit of work they can. So I don't think we have to worry about being overworked. I think we got to worry more about giving it our best, whatever God gives us to do. You see, ants don't pay unemployment. Because there ain't nobody unemployed. They all work. They all got a job. I was talking to a guy last week, and he was moaning to me about not being able to find a job. And I mentioned, I said, you know, I saw a sign down at McDonald's that they're hiring. He said, oh, I couldn't work there. I said, well, why not? He said, well, you know, McDonald's. I said, what? What's the matter with McDonald's? I mean, I think their sweet tea is great. You know what I found out? Did I tell you this? For every 5 gallons of sweet tea, they use 5 pounds of sugar. Candy, did you know that? Every gallon of sweet tea has a pound of sugar in it. That's why it's so good. That's probably Brian. You know, I told you I couldn't take off any weight doing all this. Maybe that's why. I'm drinking too much sweet tea. But it was beneath him to even think about working at McDonald's. See, ants, they just work. They just work. They get a job. God gave them that job. They go at it. Are we as smart as an ant? We will be if we work. Number three, their motivation for work comes from within. Verse 7, they have no guide, no overseer or ruler. So let me put that in today's terms. They don't have a foreman. They don't have a supervisor. They don't have a boss. Nobody's checking their time card. Nobody's looking over their shoulder. Nobody's checking their brakes. Nobody directs them. They work to serve the queen. They work to serve the young. They work to serve the colony. They work to secure the future of the colony. That's what motivates them. Nobody makes them work. Nobody forces them to do their job. They work because they want to. And if we're as smart as an ant, it ought to be the same for us. It ought to be the same for us. That verse that I quoted, I only quoted it partially, says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might, as unto the Lord, not unto man. Everything we do, we ought to do it as unto the Lord. And if you say, well, preacher, there's some things I can't do because I can't do it unto the Lord. And I'd tell you to quit doing them. If you can't do it with all your might as unto the Lord, as unto man, then it's not worth doing. But if it doesn't dishonor God, whether it's spiritual or secular, we have to do with our motivation ought to be in this work. I am pleasing God. In this work, my efforts are to please God. It's not to please my boss, not to please my supervisor, not to please the company I work for. It's to please God. And if that's our motivation, we don't need a supervisor. We don't need a boss. We don't need somebody checking us because we'll work. Because our motivation is coming from in here. So again, are we as smart as an ant? If our motivation for work comes from within here. Number four, and I got to hurry because I want to get through all my 6 points. Ants do things that seem impossible. If you dig into ant hills, you will find rooms in these nests that are hundreds of times bigger than one little ant. And as these gatherers go out and gather up stuff, they carry things that are many times their own body weight. I mean, they carry a heavy load. So little ants don't back down from big jobs. They just go do it. They just go do it. Now, I'm going to date myself a little bit. When I was a kid, I remember a little song my mom taught me. I thought she, you know, as I look back on it, I thought she was just teaching me this little song, but she was really teaching me a truth. And I have not thought about this song for years and years and years until last night when I was working on this Bible lesson. And the little song goes like this. Let's see if I can remember the tune. Just what makes that little ant think he can move that rubber tree plant? Everybody knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but she has high hopes. She has high hopes. She has high in the sky apple pie hopes. So anytime you're feeling down, anytime you're feeling low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree. Oops, there goes another rubber tree. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. How many of you remember that song? All right, well, good. Jenna, you probably never heard it before, have you? Well, now you can say yeah. But, the song makes the point. You know, there are people today, there's people in this room today that are carrying heavy loads. If you would have gone to that person 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and said, hey, sometime in the future, you're going to have to carry this load. And they would have said, can't do it. Can't do it. I could never carry a load like that. And I'm not talking about a physical load. I could be talking about an emotional load. They would say, I could never carry a load like that. But yet they're doing it today because they have a God through which they can do all things because he strengtheneth them. God never asks us to do anything unless he equips us to do it. So don't look at the size of the job. Don't look at the size of the burden. Don't look at the size of the load. Look at the size of your God. And from the little ants, we can learn that we can do things that look impossible. Number five, they're devoted to their young. I talked a little about the nurse ants that take care of the little ones. The queen is devoted to the young. The nurse ants are devoted to the young. The gatherers are devoted to the young. The soldiers are devoted to the young. The builders are devoted to the young. It's their next generation. It's the future of the colony. And so they all share the responsibility of taking care of their young. They don't kill them. You know, in the United States of America, and I've been more sensitive to this since Aaron was born. I spent time at the hospital. But you know, we kill 5,000 babies a day. 5,000 a day. And I was thinking last night, can you imagine the outcry there would be if we killed 5,000 spotted owls a day? Or if we broke 5,000 eagle eggs a day? I mean, it would be in all the papers. It would be on the talk shows, on the radios. I mean, they don't kill their young. They don't leave their kids to themselves. You know, we live in a world today where there's a lot of kids that get no teaching, no training, no discipline. They run wild. They have no respect for authority. And I'll just tell you, kids need a home where there's a mom, there's a dad, there's a Bible, there's a church, there's discipline, there's training, there's teaching, there's nurturing. And if we're smart as an ant, that's what we do to our young. And then number six, and it's probably the most important one of all six of them, they prepare for the future. No guide, no overseer, no ruler, yet she provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her food in harvest. Your people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. Ants know that winter is coming. They know that when winter comes, they cannot get what they need to survive. So they prepare in summer. They go out and they fill up their nests and all those chambers that are dug with food. They prepare. They prepare. In the harvest time, in the summertime, in the season where they can, they go out and they get what they need so that when winter comes, they're ready, they're prepared. There's too many people today, even many Christians today, that are living just for today. Their philosophy is, we'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. And they make no provision, they make no preparation. And when winter, the winter time in life comes, they are unprepared and they pay the price for that lack of preparation. Now, tomorrow is coming. I mean, when it gets here, we'll call it something else. We'll call it today. But it is coming. And there will be a time in the future where you and I cannot do what we can do today. I mean, I'm already at the point I can't do what I did a few yesterdays ago. Can't. And many of you are in that same situation. Can't do what you did a few yesterdays ago. And with a few more tomorrows, I'm not going to be able to do what I do today. And so I got to prepare. Now, of course, the first application is you need to get saved today. And I look around and think all of us tonight are Christians. But that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you put off till tomorrow to get saved, you're never going to get saved. That's why God is so insistent, why the Bible is so insistent that now is the time. Because you may not have tomorrow. You may lose your mind. You may lose your ability to reason. You may lose the ability to understand that you're a sinner and you need Jesus. That's why you need to do it today. And then there's going to come a time in all of our lives that's going to be the winter season of life. We need to prepare. We need to prepare. I mean, we need to save up, just like the little ant does, so when those times come, we're ready. I mean, and I'll just be real practical for a minute. I mean, you ought to have life insurance. You ought to have health insurance. You ought to have some kind of retirement plan as to how you're going to eat, you know, when you can't work anymore. Say, preacher, where's that in the Bible? Well, I think it's right here with the ant. Teaching us that we need to be prepared for tomorrow because tomorrow is going to come. And so I'll close with the question I started. Are we as smart as an ant? Some wonderful truths from that little female ant. Again, you can't learn anything from the males, but you can learn a lot from the females. And that's why Solomon says, go to the ant, consider her ways, and be wise. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.